Harper Teen and Harper Audio present Escaping Mr. Rochester by L.L. McKinney. Performed by Michelle Williams and Aneka Okoye. To the black girls determined to live how they want and love who they want, you are the blueprint. Part 1. I am no bird, and no net ensnares me. 1. Proper lady. Jane. This is better than the alternative. I've told myself so time and again. I repeat the assertion while I wait near the road for a coach that will carry me into the unknown. Not for the first time do I face such a fate, but it will be the first time I have chosen to do so. The truth of this does nothing to assuage my fear, so I shove my thoughts aside and focus on the moment itself. Despite the cloudless sky and bright sunshine, the late morning is so cold my breath mists. I shiver, partly from the chill plucking at me with icy fingers, and partly from nerves. Perhaps mostly from nerves, if I'm fully honest with myself. My fingers dig into the fabric of my coat as I clutch my arms for warmth. Paper crinkles in my left hand, caught between my palm and my sleeve. The letter that came last week. The wax seal has crumbled away due to my fidgeting, leaving a bloody kiss on the envelope. Dear Miss Eyre, I hope my correspondence finds you well. I am pleased with your decision to accept my offer of employment as governess in Thornfield Hall. As such, I will send for you at the earliest possible convenience. A coach will arrive at Lowood the morning of Saturday of next week, that is, the 16th. I trust this will provide plenty of time for you to make the necessary preparations. Room and board will be provided as part of your wages. Please bring anything else you feel you will need. Regards, E. I've read the letter often enough to commit its words to memory, and to know this coach is late. The single travelling chest, containing all my belongings, rests near my feet, tightly packed and, truthfully, more prepared for this journey than I am. There's a twisting in my gut that's been there since I woke before dawn. A breakfast of cold porridge and leftover broth did not settle my unease, and taking such an early meal means my stomach is now empty. There's nothing to weigh down the nervous hummingbird fluttering viciously. My fear is alive inside me. It takes every ounce of willpower not to glance over my shoulder, past the high gates of Lowood School, to the dingy windows where faces no doubt crowd the panes to watch me. She's still out there, they likely whisper, mocking me for standing in the cold for so long. Foolish. She's surely lying. The letter is fake. No one is coming. The imagined taunts ring like bells in my ears, and my grip on my arms, and thus the letter, tightens. I could go back inside if no one came, back to the bleak and lonely halls that are as much my home as the muddy path stretched before me, back to the sideways glances and snide remarks about my family or hair or dress, back to being told what to do and when to do it, to so few choices and even fewer possibilities. No. The word crawls free from somewhere deep down, spoken by a part of me that knows this is the only way. The same part of me that knows without Helen, I'd never survive Lowood. Thoughts of her fill my mind and my heart, and I feel her absence as keenly as I might a blade in my side. She made this place bearable, with her sharp mind, soft words, and unyielding being. My Helen, whose smile I can still see as clear as if she were standing before me. My Helen, who would want this for me. My Helen. A horse whinnies, and my eyes fly open. The sight of the approaching coach sends a thrill through me. As the horses pull up, the scent of oil, leather, sweat, and something sour washes over the area. The fluttering that had taken residence in my middle dissolves, as do the unpleasant feelings surrounding.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?